curious tale of the tripping merman. Ladies, take it away.
A day at sea, just wonderful.
Oh, a belt. Miss Holmes, you know that I have sea legs. I don't feel so well.
Oh, hogwash. It's all in your head, Dr. Wanda. Here, have some fresh fish and chips with extra tartar sauce.
Oh, I think I'm going to be sick. Oh, what's that head? Finally land! Yes! Where are we?
Land, we're at Philistia. Well, here we shall see about a mystery with the Philistines. Something about mermaids.
Mermaids? How enchanting.
Shirley Holmes and Dr. Wanda, over here.
Ah, hello there. Hello, tally-ho-hoo. How are you? How may we help you with your mystery of the mermaid?
Yes.
I don't want anyone to hear you. I'm one of the girls in charge, and I don't want anyone to know I called for help.
Oh.
But we need your help, and he's a merman.
A merman?
Yes, Dagon, our god statue. She's a he.
She's a he.
Mermaid?
Merman.
Merman, I've got it now.
Yes, merman.
This way, and I'll show you all that's been happening.
You know, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but you have quite an acne epidemic going around here. Have you considered a cream for the boils on your face? You know, use toothpaste or something? You know, Pinterest has a recipe for everything.
I wish these were just pimples, Doctor, but we've got a plague.
Ew, a plague? Oh, hand sanitizer, quickly, Dr. Wanda.
What?
You know, it seems I caught that acne plague when I was 14 myself.
Wish I could laugh, but this is serious, and it all has to do with this mystery.
Let me guess. Are rats an issue, too? Because I see them everywhere.
Oh, more hand sanitizers. It's giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Yes, we're almost there. Ah, here we are.
Oh, look at that, your dear mermaid, it's all broken.
Merman.
Excuse me, merman, has fallen to the floor.
Yes, and strangely enough, its head and hands have broken off. Why, this was no accident. Why, to have this happen because of an earthquake or something, the odds would be 1,674, carry the 3 divided by 2, 342 niner to be exact, and it's impossible.
So let me get this straight. What you're saying is that the merman has been murdered, thus a murder. A mama! Has anything happened recently?
We were doing great. We won our last battle with Israel. We even stole their Ark of the Covenant.
Whoa! You didn't say anything about the Ark of the Covenant over our telegram. This is impossible to deal with. We do not touch it. It is hands off. We don't touch it with a 9-foot pole, with a yardstick, connected to a selfie stick, connected to anything else you can find. We do not touch the Ark of the Covenant.
What's the big deal about it?
It's God's throne! And not like your mermaid.
Merman.
Oh, gosh. Yes, whatever. Merman, mermaid, who knows? Israel's God is real and doesn't play games with the Ark of the Covenant.
Then what shall we do?
Return it. Return it right away. Mystery solved. Quite elementary, Dr. Wanda. Your stone image of the merman was knocked over by a powerful, real, almighty, living God. You've experienced 2 plagues, and I wouldn't test him any further. Return it as fast as you can. Now, Dr. Wanda, we have a boat to catch.
Oh, no, not again. Mine.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, doctors. Wonderful, wonderful presentation. It all makes sense now. Let's see. In honor of our wonderful, wonderful radio show, everybody stand up real quick. I need you to stand up. I need you, since Dagon's arms were broken off, I need you to give somebody next to you a high five. That's right. Tell a person, and then give the person next to you, the other side, give them the wave. Because some of us are going bye-bye, all of our junior hires. You are dismissed. Dismissed to the junior high room. All my senior hires, thank you, yes. All my senior hires, please. You know, let me do this. All my senior hires, stand up. I think, and let's get you guys funneling up here in the middle two sections here. Since there's so great an exit here. Let's go ahead and squeeze into the middle here. Because we're all, that way we could all be family. Family. Oh, and as you guys are there, go ahead, flip in the Bible to 1 Samuel. Anywhere you want in 1 Samuel, doesn't matter, 1 Samuel. Just go to get to 1 Samuel. Sometimes it's hard enough just getting to the chapter. 1 Samuel, just get to the book. Oh, thank you, wonderful family. All right. See, you guys didn't realize there's mermaids in the Bible, right? No, kind of, but not really. All right, here's what we're talking about. Now, as our wonderful radio show kind of tipped you guys off, today we're in the book of 1 Samuel, and there's an interesting, intriguing story, a mystery that needs to be deduced and understood, because number one, it's weird, and number two, sometimes in the Bible, the weirder the story, the more important it is. That's right. If you ever come into a story in the Bible that is so off the wall, strange, crazy, and weird, God's trying to get your attention, because God says weird is important. Can a brother get an amen? And this story is kind of strange. Thank you, Mr. Mark in the back. Be weird. Amen. And, you know, the problem, though, with weird is it's hard to understand. That's why it's weird. And the Bible describes itself as the hidden mysteries of God. I said this last week. And see, it's interesting because it's hidden. Well, that's because it's hard to find. I mean, if anybody's ever told you, if you need an answer, find it in the Bible, that is not always the best answer, because it's like, have you seen that book? There's a lot of pages. The answers are hidden in it. So you have to dig into the Bible to find it. And they're mysteries because sometimes it's hard to understand. But sometimes the best things in life are the most difficult things. So the Bible is something that you need to dig into and work hard to understand. And if you do that, you'll find the greatest treasures. So here we are in 1 Samuel. Now this is like three chapters long. We could do one of two things. I can tell you the story, or I can read you all three chapters. Okay, let's do the story. You guys go home and read the story yourself. It's 1 Samuel chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7. Oh wow, that's... math lied to me. That's four chapters. Okay, but just the first half of the seventh chapter. I know. So these four chapters, these three, or rather three and a half chapters, can really be summarized into this story. It is the story, the case of the tripping mermaid. Merman! So the story comes up like this. There's the kingdom of Israel, right? And Israel is being run by a prophet by the name of Samuel. Samuel is an interesting fellow. Samuel is a prophet and a judge. He's the guy that makes the decisions. Kind of like a president, but not really. More spiritual than that. So here's Samuel getting ready to take the reins. He's getting ready to take the reins from a man named Eli. Eli is number one in charge. Samuel is number two in charge. Eli is, old. And Eli, he kind of tells the Israelites kind of what to do sometimes. So the Israelites, they decide to go to war. They start attacking this place called the Philistines. The Philistines, they come from the sea. You know, they have boats, and they kind of came in kind of like Vikings, I don't know, like a wrecking ball or something like that. And they start destroying all these places around them, Israel being one of them. Now, the problem is this, is that Israel serves God. That's right, the one true God. God's name is Yahweh. That's okay if you don't know what that means. It doesn't matter. He's God. This God we serve. But the problem is that Israel has been kind of double dipping, if you will. They serve God, and with their life, they begin to serve these other gods by other names. So they're kind of, you know, playing the field here when it comes to their worship. So they get ready to go to war with the Philistines, and they take this box that they call God's throne, the Ark of the Covenant, a box with this thing with wings on it, kind of crazy, and they take it out to the war because they say, if we take this box out, then that means God's going to go with us. And every time God goes with us, we be winning wars. So they go out there, and the Philistines are fighting, and the Israelites are fighting. There's a big war, and all of a sudden, guess who wins? The Philistines. Israel gets their butt handed to them. So Israel's off running. Our guys are dying. No, run away. Eli's sons get killed. Chak, chaka. And all of a sudden, what happens when you win a war? You take all their stuff. So the Philistines stole the ark, God's box, God's throne. They jacked it. The messengers come back and they're like, we lost. Eli the prophet's like, what happened? I'm old. I can't hear. He said, we lost. And your sons died. He's like, oh no. And then all of a sudden they're like, and the Ark of the Covenant got stolen. He's like, say what? He fell over, boom, broke his neck, died. Bad day for Israel. I know. And that's why you should never lean back on your chair. So, Israel, they become slave servant to the Philistine people. The Philistines, now, they served a god named Dagon. Do we have Dagon's picture? Show me the color one. None of that black and white stuff. This is 2014. Boom! Dagon. Do. Right there. That is the mermaid. Merman! At least Duke put a shirt on, right? Come on, Dagon. Get it together. Take it away. I don't want to look at him no more. Thank you. Brother be tripping. So, anyway, that's the picture. That's what they believed that the god that they served looked like, the Philistines. So all of a sudden, that merman has a temple, of course, because that's what you do with your gods. You make a temple for them. So they take the Ark of the Covenant. They put it in the temple. And what they would do is, whenever they would conquer somebody, they would take their conquering nation's god, temple, thing, idol, statue, and they would put it in their temple to say, look, neener, my god's better than your god. Nah. So the god that lost would have to move in with Dagon. Bam, there you go. So they move the box into Dagon's house, into his temple. Now, sun goes up. Sun comes down. Sun goes up. They go into Dagon's house. Lo and behold, Dagon's statue, idol, got slapped upside his head and fell over. What the heck happened here? What's the deal here? Who's really in charge here? Fell over right in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Almost like he was bowing down to it. Oh, that's weird. Huh. Strange. Breakfast time. Put them up. Let's go out. Sun goes up. Sun goes down. Sun comes up. They go back to the temple. Guess what happened? That sucker got knocked over again. Boom! Got him, backhanded him. Now, the crazy thing is, it wasn't just that. But when he fell down, the Bible tells us that his arms broke off and his head broke off. That fool got broke into four pieces. Kind of crazy. Interestingly enough, that's what they would do to the soldiers that they would capture and kill. It's almost like God's trying to send them a point. That's really strange, they say. I don't know if we could put it back up. We better make a new one. Sun goes up. Sun goes down. Sun comes up again. All of a sudden, a plague breaks out in the entire nation of the Philistines. They figured it, the rats must have brought in the bubonic plague. And they're all bumpy and boily and drippy. They're like, no! What happened to us? Ah! Some smart guy says, hey, last time somebody messed with the Israelites, there was 10 plagues. Literally, it's in the Bible. They're like, remember the Egyptians? They're like, oh yeah, we better stop this one while we're ahead. I read what happened to them. So they say, we don't know what to do. Get all the religious guys in. Yeah. And the religious guys come in, they're like, what are we going to do? And they're like, you better get rid of this thing quick. That box has got poison in it. But what if it's a coincidence? Because, you know, sometimes this stuff coincidentally happens. You ever had a bad day? You know what it's like. One thing happens after another. And they're saying, what if we just have a bad day? Oh, I know. We got an idea. Let's get some cows. Let's put the box on the cows. And if the cows leave, yeah, I don't know. This is scientific method, not so scientific. But, you know, whatever. They're worshiping a mermaid. So, go figure there. That's your first indication of something's weird. So, the story only gets weirder because the cows, well, they're brand new cows, the cows never used to pull nothing before. They put the box on the cows leave, they go to another city, the cows stop at the city, and the whole city breaks out with the plague. Like, why'd you bring this box to us? Get this box out of here. The cows go to the next city, that city gets plagues. I said, don't bring that box here! Get this box back to where it came from! Box goes all the way back to Israel. And Israel's was like, no way, the box came back. That's cool. How did these cows know how to get here? They didn't even have GPS. That's a miracle. Just maybe. Samuel steps up, says, that dude Eli broke his neck. Now I'm in charge. We're going to do things a little bit differently now because the box came back. We're going to serve God and just God. Chapter 7, out. Bam, 3 chapters right there. You guys get it? That's the story. Now, what the heck does that mean? Because I don't think anybody out here, look, I know some of you ladies, you guys got the Ariel Little Mermaid shirt on. Am I asking you to destroy your Ariel paraphernalia? Are we never going to sing Under the Sea? Oh, under the sea, everything is better. No. You can still watch Little Mermaid, I think. Let the Lord deal with you on that one. I know, if you get the plague while watching the Little Mermaid, burn it quickly and get the box out of there. Okay, so, no, but... It means something. Because remember, last week, everything in the Old Testament is a physical picture of something spiritual in your life today. See, this story is a physical picture of what people do spiritually every day in their life. You see, this whole story, the tripping mermaid, this whole story is trying to tell you 3 things. You see, the story tells you this, very simply, that you cannot have it both ways. Oh, that's right. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Pastor Richard, I never understood that. Neither do I, but it's true. Because I figure you can't eat the cake till you have it, right? But whatever. You can't have it both ways. You cannot have it both ways. You see, Israel, bottom line, tried to do this. They tried to worship God and everything else. They worshiped another God, and that God was in charge of money. They worshiped another God, and that God was in charge of love. They worshiped another God, and that God was in charge of war. And they said, we're going to worship God and love and war and peace and all those other books. We're going to worship it all. They wanted it all. I want it all. But you can't have it that way. You see, you can't live for God and yourself. I mean, it doesn't work. There's not enough room. You can't live for God and your girlfriend. You can't live for God and popularity and prestige. You can't live for God and money. You can't serve both of those things because there's not enough room in your life. You can only choose one. There can only be one. Because God's too big to share in your life. You can't have it both ways. The saying goes, you can't walk on both sides of the fence because, well, your legs ain't that long. And in your life, you have to make a choice. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve something else? You know, they say that some of the most miserable people in the world are Christians that aren't committed because they got too much of God to enjoy the world, but they've got too much of the world to enjoy God. So they go to church and then they feel bad because of what they did before. And then they go hang out with their friends and then they feel bad doing stuff with their friends because they're thinking, oh man, God's watching me. So they can't enjoy anything. You can't have it all. Because, well, number one, there's too much guilt involved. Number two, well, because your heart was only meant to have one Lord. You see, that's what happened. It says here, when Eli and all the people, they heard that the ark was stolen. Well, one of the sons of the priests, well, she heard that her husband died. And it says here in, it says in 1 Samuel, it says in 1 Samuel 4:21, it says, now she was pregnant with her dead husband's, her recently killed husband's son. She heard that they had died. She heard that the Ark of the Covenant, God's box, God's throne was taken away. And she was in so much stress, it put her into labor. She popped that kid out, bam, and she died. But her last words she said is, call this kid Ichabod. That's a weird name. That's a weird name. And that's if that's your name, that I'm sorry. The name meant that God's glory's left. It means that God turned and left you guys. That's what his name meant. Israel was trying to live for God and the world. And this woman, in all of her wisdom, popped out that kid, bam, said, this kid, psh, you can't have it both ways, bro, and died. That's where the story leads off. That's why they lost the battle. Because they stepped out of God's blessing. And then the crazy thing is, the Philistines take this ark to their temple, and God shows up and God says, you're God. The mermaid, come on, a mermaid? Seriously? Fish, man, fish? What? Who does this? God knocks this thing over, gives them these, he presents this plague to them. So what do the Philistines do? They say, oh my gosh, this God is bigger than our God. We need to abandon our ways. Get rid of the mermaid because he's already broken in pieces. Get rid of all the idols. Let's leave everything we knew behind and let's serve this God that is real and is showing up and he's doing things. No! They say, this God is stronger than ours. Get him out of here. Is that the right choice? Because don't you want the stronger guy on your side? I think you made a bad choice. See, the story tells you can't have it both ways. So don't turn your back on God. Here's what happens. Is you give your heart to God and things get hard. They get difficult. God starts telling you to make choices. Get rid of this in your life. Don't do this. I don't know. Did anybody notice that when you became a Christian, your easy life became very difficult? I don't know, has it ever been harder being a Christian than it is being unsaved? Because I feel like that is for me. Like sometimes, like if I was not saved, I could do whatever I want. I could go wherever I want. I could watch whatever I want. I could do whatever I want. But being a Christian is very hard. I have to like respect people and honor people. I went to Walgreens the other day, and there was this lady like, hi, Pastor Richard. I'm like, oh, hi. I was like giving her the fake. She's all, you gave me the fake smile. I'm like, you don't even shut up and just let me get my root beer. It's hard. I got love people that are like hard to, it's hard being a Christian. But it's worth it. You see, the Philistines, when they met a real God, when they met the one with all the power, they turned their back when they could have embraced him. You see, their gods told them to sacrifice their children. Their gods told them to hurt themselves, to cut themselves. Their gods made them do strange, weird things. And the bizarre thing is, it never really worked. I mean, they got the plague and they couldn't, it's bad. I mean, the Philistines ain't around anymore, but the Israelites, the Jews are. I think God won that one. It's bizarre because we're presented, when you ask God into your life, God tells you to give things up. And we're like, well, I don't know. I think I still would like to smoke weed. Can I smoke weed and go to church? I would like to keep this relationship with my boo going on. Can I do both? Oh, God, boo. God, See, what happens is we trade the truth of God for something that's so much less than. Those relationships fade. The high goes away. It has a hangover. It has permanent side effects. Do you see what I'm saying? But when you serve God, though it may be harder, maybe more difficult, maybe more challenging, God never gives with sorrow. God never gives with side effects. God never gives with lasting pain and torture. God never, look, it may be difficult, but it's always better. And that's what the Philistines, they encountered God in such a real way. How many times has a young person gone to camp? God, I'm gonna live with you forever. Oh, give me that club life when I get back. Oh, yeah, baby, zookie now. Oh, yeah. Hey, what happened? Remember? Don't you remember how good God is? What happened to the Philistines? They met up with God's power, and instead of going to God's power, they turned around and sent it away. And they paid the price for it. They paid the price for it. Destroyed. And not around anymore. It's bizarre. Don't turn your back on God. It says in 1 Samuel 5, 6 and 7, it says this. It says, the hand of the Lord was heavy against the people at that city of Ashdod in Philistine. It says he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, Ashdod and all the territory around it. When the men saw how these things were, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us. His hand is hard against us and Dagon our God. They would not let go of the world. They sent and gathered together the lords of the Philistines and said, what are we going to do with this? What was the answer? Get this thing out of here. Send it to somebody else. And that's what we do when things get hard. When things get challenging, we turn our back on God. Don't do it. This story tells us you can't have it both ways. So don't turn your back on God and make God your one and only. Make God your one and only. You know, it's funny because a lot of times we want, like I said, we want it both ways. We want it this and that. But God, from the beginning, if you were to read this whole book, and we say it every week, and to find, if God would ask me for one thing, what does God want? And it's this word called faithfulness, right? You know, some things are meant to be exclusive. Like some things you can share. Bowl of nachos. Oh, share it. Share it with everybody. Come on, a community fries, guys. Community fries. You know? Ladies, you can share a shirt. Share the shirt with your friends. They may not give it back to you, but you can share it with them. Share it. Earbuds, yeah. You take one, I'll take one. We'll listen to the same song. It'll be wonderful. Oh, turn that one up. I like that song. You had the bass boost? Did they still have that anymore? I don't know. See, some things are meant to be shared. But some things are meant to be one and only. Faithful. Faithful. Me and my wife, that's exclusive. Because I'll tell you this. If I try to make it, you know, where we start sharing, you won't see Pastor Richard next week. They'll find him. In a couple weeks, in the desert, buried, 5 different locations. That's what happened to Pastor Richard if we start to make this a sharing relationship. All right, it don't work that way. And if it do, then you better run, okay, because something's broken. See, sharing doesn't work in a marriage. Sharing does not work in a marriage. And brother, let me tell you, just ask, let me see. If you got a girlfriend, say, hey, you know what, I saw this cute girl the other day. Can I go on a date with her? Watch how many teeth she slapped out of your faith. Right, bam! But I hope that was a baby tooth. Because it ain't coming back. Some things are meant to be exclusive. Your toothbrush. Hey, how many people you share your toothbrush with last week? Exactly. That's exclusive. One mouth only. My wife will not let me use her toothbrush. And I kiss her. See, I'm like, I remember seriously. I was up a creek. And I was like, "Hun, can I just use your toothbrush once?" I actually asked that question. She's like, "No." I was like, "Whoa, all right. I'll just put some toothpaste on my finger and work it that way." Sorry. Some things are meant to be exclusive. Your heart is one of them. Your heart is one of them. See, Israel, they served these other gods, Baal, Astarte. She wasn't Mexican. And all these other gods. And their heart was divided. And that's not the way God rolls. God needs to be your one and only. 1 Samuel 7, the ark rolls back. The box rolls into town. If you guys have that picture of the merman fell over, that the cartoon one, go pop that up. And the ark rolls back into town. And this is what he says. See that little box right there on the left? That's what it was. No, that's Dagon. Get him out of here, sucker. Right there on the left with the little angel things. That's what the box is, in case you're wondering. What box is Pastor? That one right there. See the merman fell down, bust a head right there in the box. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, that's the box. The Ark of the Covenant. Oh, yeah, you're right there, yeah. If you guys saw that one Indiana Jones movie, that thing. Okay, so 1 Samuel, thank you. 1 Samuel 7:3, the Bible says, "And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, 'Listen, if you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods, put away the Ashtaroth among you, and direct your heart to the Lord. Serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of these Philistines.'" So what did they do? People of Israel, they put away their Baals, their Ashtaroth. What did they do? Verse 4 says, they serve the God only. Who are you serving? When you make a decision, what goes through your mind? Do you ever wonder what God thinks about it? Or do you wonder what other people, what other things? You see, what do you spend your money on when you get it? What do you spend your time with if you have to make a decision? Does God become a part of it? Because that's how you know who your heart belongs to. Who has your heart? Do you serve God, one and only? Or in your life, are you constantly trying to please people and please God? Are you stuck in between the two? Are you trying to have a private faith where, you know, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm not going to bug anybody, I'm not going to... No, because it doesn't work that way. Do you live for God when it's convenient and then you live for everybody else? Do you even know what God wants from you in your life? Who are you serving? Have you tried to put God right next to all the other things in your life that you worship? Or is God the one and the only one that you worship, that you look to for trouble? When your world falls apart, what's the first thing, first person you go to? Because that's who you know. Who are you going to rescue you? If it's not God, then you, my friend, may have something before him. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to your friend or your mom or your dad or whomever it is, but I'm saying this: God needs to be the one who you go to for rescue. He is your one and only. You know, that's what the word holy means in the Bible. Holy means that you're exclusively God's. Look, holy, my marriage is holy because I am exclusively my wife's. I'm exclusive. Nobody else invited. Sorry, this is a party of two, so see yourself out. You know what I'm saying? That's what God is your one and only, and that's what he says. Serve God and serve him only. There's an interesting verse in the Bible. If you guys haven't, put it up there. Matthew, the 6th chapter, 6:24. Jesus said something real interesting. Jesus said real interesting in Matthew 6. He said, "No one can serve two masters. You either hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other." You can't serve God and money. You can't do that. You can't serve two gods. You can't have two bosses, just one, because one boss will tell you to do something other than the other boss. Your loyalty can only go so far. So choose wisely who you're loyal to. That's the bottom line. Look, in this world, there's a lot of things you can serve. There's a million things you can serve. You can serve your sports team. You can serve a girlfriend. You can serve the internet. You can serve a video game. Look, you can spend all your time wasting it on mess. Chasing relationship after relationship after relationship. You can do it serving, you know, the next high. You can do it serving yourself, doing whatever you want, that whatever makes you happy, that's what you're going to do, because it's all about me. You can serve yourself, or you can serve God. Who have you made your God? Him or something else? So that's what the story is about. It's not about mermaids. It's not about Dagon. It's not about, you know, it's not about rats or cows, or it's about somebody choosing to make God exclusively theirs. Because I'll tell you this, God made you exclusively his. Right? God himself came down from heaven, lived on this earth, and died on a cross, rose again from the grave. Why? For you. God gave you everything. And today God's asking for everything. Man, it sounds like an altar call. Man, this sounds like something maybe we've heard before. But the hard part is this is something that we need to remind ourselves of every day. Even me, myself, I need to remind myself, man, what am I in this for? What am I doing this for? Man, what am I spending all my time on? I don't know. I mean, this story tells me to check myself. Because am I stuck? Am I stuck with a tripping mermaid? Man! Merman. Because he's a dude. Or am I serving the only God, the only one that can solve my problems, that can take me where I need to go? Look, man, that's what it is. The story tells me this. You can't have it both ways. So don't turn your back on God and make God your one and only. Oh, that sounds good. It says you can't have it both ways. So don't turn your back on God and make God your one and only. That's what this story is about. And it's funny because it's so simple. That's why the weird stories are the ones you really got to listen to. Next week, we're going to talk about the magician's mistake. That's right, magicians. Dang, this is getting strange. Magicians up in the Bible. I ain't talking about no rabbits either. So if you guys got something like God, let's give him praise.